A weak Solidarity Brekkie Team listener when thought we'd open with an update on the world's great fossil behemoths attempts to save the world from the world's great fossil behemoths, just in case there is such a thing as climate change and we don't make it to the next item before the planet fries to death. Although the Minister for Fossils, Chris Bowen to Capital, wrote a very thoughtful piece, Grab the Green Energy Opportunity, lauding the government's green credentials without mentioning its approval of more and more coal and gas backed up by subsidies, so they're obviously no problem. As the Western Trublawazi government urged the energy giants to use their gas reserves, with their minister suggesting they could lower royalties to offset the costs these poor dears face in developing new projects. While the big Trublawazi BHP, and aren't we so proud of the big Aussie, bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, will develop a massive new gas-fired power station to service its Western Trublawazi iron ore division until 2053, 3 years after Trublawazi will have reached net zero emissions by planting a few trees in Indonesia and other people's business. Indeed, bloody huge, telling the misnomered Environment Protection Authority it would reach net zero by 2050 through several carbon offset schemes. See? Pollute to your heart's content. And one of our favourites, Woodside with Profits, had a bit of trouble in its annual general meeting when the majority of shareholders voted down its climate target as inadequate and relying heavily on offsets to the little bit of pollution Woodside with contributes to the transition from itself. Despite Supremo Mego Neil before Profits assuring us the target met the Paris ambitions. The shareholders were got at by these bloody activists who refused to understand that climate change is still unproven. What's that under our feet? The shareholders asked. Oh, that, just a bit of water. Don't worry about it. We forgot to remind people to bring their gumboots. We mentioned it ran a full-page ad modestly praising its climate credentials, delivering on our climate targets. And in fairness to Megan chairperson Filthy Rich of the Filthy Rich Richard Gotcha, it is, given it hasn't got a climate target, allowing it to deliver on its profit target. Just bad luck about the planet. And in fairness to Chris Bowen to Capital, it's not that he's not doing something about the little matter of the end of the earth. Well, human life on it. In a highly successful strategy, it has handed $530 million, real figure, from the public purse to big polluters Rio Tinto the Planet, Worst Farmers, Swiss coal giant Glen Rotten to the Core, BlueScope Steal the Public Purse, billionaire Sanjay Gupta's Liberty Steal the Public Purse, so they'll try not to pollute quite as much. Like the poor dears can't do it without corporate welfare. Unlike the homeless, the unemployed, public health, transport, education, housing, disability services, which have no need at all for, say, $530 million. And our socially conscious airlines and privatised airports have called for $2 billion, again real figure, in the budget so they can develop a sustainable aviation fuel industry. Fair enough too, because we can't expect the big polluters to fund not being big polluters. Well, we got through that, and for another week the planet is still here. Last week we thanked the heavens for Lord Rupert of Wapping, as his Wapping sin alerted us to these pests tying up the poor, police from other activities, carrying on about matters that are none of their business, like the end of the planet, genocide, no proper papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people, Julian Assange facing espionage charges for the criminal activity of exposing train killer criminal activity, which, the latter, train killer criminal activity, war crimes, is obviously not criminal, else we would have seen charges laid in the US of and here. Well, this week, thank goodness for Lord Rupert again. This time he's Trublawazi trading with the big red Trublawazi in the right-hand corner. And don't forget, Lord Rupert modestly promotes his broadsheet as For the Informed Reader, informing us to an evil as we have been informed since some myopic legislators made evil unions legal. P1 kicker, socialist caught in crossfire. Then, screaming P1 headline, Anti-Zion ACTU stirs Jewish fury. The ACTU has ignited a ferocious battle with Trublowasi's Jewish community during Passover, etc., etc. And the light they ignited, the cause of such fury, evil irresponsibility like, and I quote the font of knowledge, the font of information, calling for the Albanese government to end military trade with Zion, enforce targeted sanctions against Zion government officials, and, sit down, listener, the most threatening and dangerous of all, and inject a further 100 million of humanitarian aid to Gaza and the West Bank. Any wonder those Zionists are up in arms? What was the ACTU thinking? Our only consolation is there's no one the Albanese government will answer the call. But on our behalf, listener, Lord Rupert, thanks for informing us that the ACTU supports terrorists and, worse, providing humanitarian aid, destroying all Zion has done to ensure, if the bombs and train killers don't get them, starvation and the elements will. And his promotional slogan is spot on. The informed thinker would be thinking, what thinking person would believe such crap? On answering the call, must admit I'm still suffering from the nausea induced by the saccharine jingoistic sentimentality confected leading up to and on Thursday. Annual rubbish like a feature article in the Wapping Sin cloyingly informing us the young people joining the train-killing machine today represent the enduring values and freedoms of our future. Pity help our future, I say, if young working class cannon fodder volunteering to go anywhere in the world they are sent to kill and be killed represent our values and freedoms, that somehow we would not be free if we had not joined the US of the UN of the US of the world in slaughtering the Vietnamese, the Afghans, the Iraqis. The writer of that nonsense is credited as a former SAS soldier, a business owner, and the Liberal candidate for Corangamite. That's some resume revealing his values. Our sort of person, listener. Three strikes and he's out. And gee, fancy that, a caring business class party candidate who's male. But we can be sure with our Solicitor General Stephen Dongingue he'd share his compassion for no proper papers queue jumping illegal boat people. Stephen, on behalf of the Socialist Government, reflected our warm welcoming of no proper papers queue jumpers as an Iranian seeking refuge and locked up indefinitely has taken his case to the High Court. The government's argument, even by its we can be even more cruel standards, as the socialists and the coalition battle it out to see who can treat them worse, who can be more cruel, was extraordinary. Indefinite detention is not punitive, Stephen told their honours. Direct quote. Because he would be freed if he cooperated with attempts to deport him to his home country, despite his fears of the death penalty. Huh? See, the bloke's bisexual and could face the death penalty in Iran, which some less compassionate than the government might think is a bloody good reason for letting him stay here, and not in indefinite detention. But no. Where a person can be removed with their cooperation, Stephen went on, that can't be characterised as punitive, whether or not the reason for non-cooperation was a genuine fear of harm. Again, I went to law school at Melbourne, but must have dropped out before we got to that bit of reasoning. And if heaven forbid the court rules that the possibility of the death penalty might just be a reason to let him stay, we'll get the usual screaming and yelling about losing control of our borders, vicious criminals running riot, roaming our streets, threatening us in our homes, in our beds, proving, as the Iranian theocracy knows, that bisexuality is a crime, a vicious murder people in their beds crime, confirmed with hysterical concern by Constable Duffer and his lot, backed up by Lord Rupert of Wapping. And the government will display its usual courage under fire, iterate its commitment to being more cruel than Constable Duffer's lot, and promise even more draconian legislation to ensure national threats like bisexuals are taken off the streets. A few weeks ago, we celebrated that wage increase of up to 13.5% for aged care workers. Well, even more exciting news for aged care workers. In a sensible move, the socialist government, which just loves workers and bends over backwards for them, has suggested the increase should be delayed for 2 years. And for good reason. See, this new cornucopia pouring riches into workers' pockets could attract more workers into the sector, which we kind of thought was the aim, and leave other areas of the economy where there are labour shortages even more labour shortaged. Workers are so lucky to have a socialist government. And the junior minister for assisting the assistant big economic guru, Andrew Lee, an economic economist and obviously a dedicated socialist, because he's written a book, The Shortest History of Economics, in which he refers to a well-known model, a chimpanzee, McDonald's salt, sugar and fat franchises, Paul McCartney, and of course Keynes, Adam Smith and a heap of economists, but too short apparently for Marx and Engels get not one word. Marx and Engels. There was a time when a politician from that party writing about economics would base it on Marx and Engels, but not Andrew, dedicated fighter for the working class. Oh, and finally, the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review is running a series about the filthy rich called How I Made It. Because unless we're filthy rich, we haven't made it, whatever it is. So, sorry for the bad news, listener, but we haven't made it. Good morning.